Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on your summer project at Menards. Transform your garage with rock-solid floor coatings. Complete your project with a showroom-quality finish in 1 weekend. A one-car kit covers up to 250 square feet. Get everything you need to complete your project with rock-solid floor coatings. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A code blue was called for Lindsay Clancy. That's not a metaphor. That's not some sort of editorial shorthand. Duxbury police officer named Richard Lippard sat in a hallway at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston for 16 hours watching Lindsay Clancy lie sedated and unconscious in a hospital bed. She never spoke, she never moved, and sometime during the night of January 24th of 2023, a code blue was called for her room. A defense attorney, Kevin Reddington, her defense attorney, asked Lippard to spell out the what that means on the stand. What it means, that meant she was dead or dying, right? Lippard's answer was yes. The prosecution's theory in this case is that Lindsay Clancy staged her injuries, that the cuts across her neck, the slices across both wrists, the jump from a second-story window that shattered her spine and left her paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of her life, all of it was a performance. Calculated theater. By a woman who, according to the state, was lucid enough to plan and execute the deaths of her three children and then fake an attempt on her own life. On Friday, July 31st, which was day four of the testimony in Clancy's murder trial at Plymouth Superior Court, the jury heard that detail for the first time. They all walked through the house where all of this happened, and they listened to two emergency room doctors describing clinical detail what it was like to try and save three-year-old Dawson Clancy for 40 minutes and fail. Everything that happened on Friday mattered, and the prosecution scored what looked like a clean point along the way. A Duxbury detective confirmed under redirect that nobody at South Shore Hospital was actively treating the wounds on Lindsay's neck and wrists. The state wanted that on the record. The morning started with a bus. The jury left Plymouth Superior Court and retraced the route Patrick Clancy drove on the night of January 24th, 2023. First stop was the 3V restaurant in Plymouth, where Patrick packed up the takeout Lindsay had ordered. Then the Kingston CVS, where he stopped to grab medicine for five-year-old Cora. He called Lindsay from the store to make sure he was getting the right thing. She was quiet on the phone. He testified earlier in the week that he hung up thinking she was probably giving the kids a bath. Then the bus drove to 47 Summer Street at Duxbury. The jury went through the house in groups of six. They walked the outside of the property. They went through the basement where Patrick found the children. They went through every room on both floors. They stood on the second floor and they saw the window. The home's current owner had objected to this visit. The judge overruled it. this jury was going to see that house, both sides wanted them there. And the reason both sides wanted them there is the reason Friday mattered as much as it did. The prosecution wanted the jury inside 47 Summer Street because of the stairs. A WBZ legal analyst laid out the state's strategic play. The jury now understands the physical distance between the basement and the second floor bedroom. They can feel it. They walked it. The prosecution alleges Lindsay Clancy strangled her three children in the basement with exercise bands and then climbed those stairs. She went to the second floor, took the pills, cut her own neck and wrist with a knife, and jumped out the window. That sequence is the state's argument for premeditation. Each step required a decision. Each decision required lucidity. A person in the grip of a psychotic break, in their opinion, doesn't navigate a staircase, locate a knife, inflict wounds, and then select a window. That's the argument the house is supposed to make, that people just don't do these sort of things in psychosis. A completely non-clinical opinion by someone not educated on the topic is what it really is. And don't you want to believe it too? What am I basing it on other than your uneducated opinion? It's my uneducated opinion. You should, of course, follow it. But that's not what any sort of medical expert would say is going on with someone who's suffering from that. That's just not accurate. That's not true. But she's bad. She's a horrible person. Again, it's not really arguing what psychosis is. But that seems to be how this argument plays when you have it with anyone. Either they want to understand how this works medically, psychologically, or they just want to tell you that she's a really horrible human being. Okay. I mean, both can be true at the same time. Doesn't have to be one or the other. Or maybe, you know, someone in the active throes of psychosis becomes a really horrible human being. Or their actions are extremely horrible, and that person doesn't have any control over what they're doing. Hence, psychosis. But the defense wanted the jury in that house for exactly the same reason, too, because those same jurors who climbed the stairs also stood on the second floor and looked down. They saw the window. They saw the yard below it. They saw the height. Every juror who looked out that window and then looked at the spot where Lindsay landed, the spot where she shattered her spine, is now carrying the physical weight of what the prosecution calls staged. The state needed that fall to be theater. A 20-foot drop onto frozen January ground that resulted in permanent paralysis. Theater. It's all theater. The same house, the same walkthrough, two completely opposite arguments, and the jury observed both of them in about 40 minutes. When the jury got back into the courtroom, testimony resumed. Detective Mark Anthony Maffeo of the Duxbury Police Department took the stand. He'd been sent to South Shore Hospital on the night of January 24th to meet Lindsay Clancy. She was sedated, unconscious, lacerations across her neck, lacerations across both wrists. Maffeo said he had never had the opportunity to speak with her because she was completely unresponsive. The prosecution showed the jury close-up photographs of her injuries. The cut spanned the full width of her neck. Both wrists were sliced. Then Reddington started his cross-examination, and he went straight at the blood. Blood on Lindsay's clothing, interior and exterior. Blood on the bedroom floor. Blood on the bed. Blood up the wall. Blood on the windowsill. On the second floor, blood on the shingles. Underneath the window ledge outside, a bloody knife. Sitting on the nightstand in the bedroom, Reddington showed the jury blown up, printed photographs of all of it. One by one, Maffeo confirmed every piece. Blood was everywhere. Reddington also had Maffeo confirm the police presence that night. More than 10 Duxbury police officers and state troopers at the house. A laptop was seized from the hallway in the closet and turned over to the Massachusetts State Police. This was a full-scale crime scene investigation from the first hour. Then the prosecution came back on redirect, and they asked their question. Was anyone at South Shore Hospital treating the wounds on Lindsay's necks and wrists while Maffeo was there? Maffeo? No. Nobody was treating them. The state wanted that answer in the record. If nobody was treating the injuries weren't that serious. If the injuries weren't that serious, the attempt wasn't real. If the attempt wasn't real, Lindsay Clancy was performing. That's their line of reasoning. That's how that detail read at 11 o'clock in the morning. After Maffeo, Officer Richard Lippard took the stand. Duxbury PD, he'd been assigned to the South Shore Hospital for overwatch. His word of the person in custody. Lindsay was sedated. She was not speaking, just lying on the hospital bed. Lippard flew with her on the med flight helicopter to Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He stayed with her through the entire next night and into the next morning, 16 hours. He was relieved at approximately 10 a.m. by two other Duxbury police officers. And during those 16 hours, Lindsay Clancy never spoke a single word. And then Reddington asked about the code blue. Lippard confirmed it. A code blue was called for Lindsay's room during the night. Reddington made him say what it meant, dead or dying. Lippard also confirmed that he did not recall Lindsay being handcuffed to the bed. She couldn't move. She wasn't going anywhere. She was unconscious, and at some point during the night, a team of medical professionals responded to her room because she was dying. Remember the prosecution's no treatment point from Maffeo's redirect? Nobody was treating the cuts on her neck and wrists at South Shore. That time, that read one way at 11 in the morning. So they're not treating it in the morning. By the afternoon, it was a completely different way, according to this. The hospital wasn't dressing cuts because the hospital was focused on keeping her alive. Nobody was treating the lacerations because the lacerations were not the emergency. The emergency was that the patient was coding. The no treatment detail the prosecution put in the record doesn't prove the injuries were superficial. It proves the hospital had bigger problems at that moment in time. Then came the doctors, and the courtroom changed. Dr. Mark Turnowicz, emergency room physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Plymouth. He treated three-year-old Dawson Clancy. He testified that he was told the child had reportedly been strangled and was found without a pulse and not breathing. His team administered epinephrine, administered calcium, performed chest compressions for approximately 40 minutes. That's on top of whatever the paramedics had already done in the field. And the ambulance ride in, Dawson's heart never restarted. It did not look like his heart would ever start again, he told the jury. He declared Dawson dead at 7:28 p.m. and on January 24th, of 2023. Lindsay Clancy cried in the courtroom. Her shoulders shook. Dr. Benjamin Kaufman, also at Beth Israel Deaconess Plymouth, he treated 8-month-old Callan Clancy. Same presentation, no pulse, not breathing. CPR was already ongoing when Callan arrived. Kaufman's team administered epinephrine, and after about 10 minutes of effort, something happened. Callan's heart started beating, but Callan never breathed on his own. Brain function tests showed nothing. At no point after his heart restarted did Callan show any sign of brain activity. He was transferred by helicopter to Boston Children's Hospital. He never regained consciousness, and he died days later. Lindsay Clancy wiped her tears as Kaufman described the effort to save her youngest child. On the same night, those doctors worked on Dawson for 40 minutes and lost him. On the same night, Kaufman got Callan's heart beating and watched it mean nothing. Lindsay Clancy was being med-flighted to Boston. She coded overnight at level one in the trauma center. The jury heard all of it on Friday afternoon. Doctors fighting to save three children in the hospital. A code blue called for the mother in another. The prosecution needed those two realities to tell different stories. In one version, the harm to the children proves intent and the harm to the mother proves performance. That's the only version where their story survives. In every other version, the jury is looking at a catastrophe that happened to an entire family on the same night. And the question stops being about calculation and starts being about what went wrong long before January 24th. Prosecution's case requires the jury to hold a theory that their own witnesses keep undercutting. The code blue is the sharpest version yet. If the hospital calls a code blue for your defendant, if your defendant is literally dead or dying, you can't stand in front of a jury and argue it was staged. Pick one. You can argue premeditation. You can argue she was lucid enough to climb those stairs and make decisions. You can argue criminal responsibility. Those are arguments, and Reddington will have to answer them. But the moment you argue it was staged, the code blue eats your theory from the inside, and the prosecution has chosen that hill. And this is what should keep the district attorney's office up at night. Reddington hasn't even started presenting his defense yet. Every witness who's testified so far has been a prosecution witness. Every piece of evidence the jury has seen has been the state's evidence, presented under the state's theory, called by the state's attorneys. And the state's own police officer just confirmed the defendant was dead or dying the same night they claim it was a big old performance. The testimony concluded at approximately 12:30 p.m. on Friday. Judge William Sullivan told the jurors the case was proceeding ahead of schedule. He sent them home for the weekend. The trial now is resuming this week. The last testimony the jury heard before the weekend was Dr. Kaufman describing what happened to Callan. They heard about the epinephrine. They heard about the 10 minutes of compressions. They heard about the heart that came back. And then they heard that it didn't matter. The heartbeat, the brain was gone. No function, no consciousness, no recovery. An 8-month-old boy was flown to Boston Children's Hospital with a beating heart and no brain activity, and he died days later without ever waking up. That's the image this jury is carrying as they walked into the weekend. Not a legal theory, not a strategic argument from either side. Dr. Kaufman standing in the courtroom in Plymouth, describing the moment an 8-month-old heart started beating again and knowing it was already too late. That's where we are heading into the week of the Lindsey Clancy trial. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation right there. Have you been moved on this at all? Has your opinion changed? Is it still where it started? Wherever it may be, I'm curious. There's no right or wrong answer. We'd love to hear from you in the comments section. Those links are in the description. And if you want to hear trial audio, we have it for you every single day right there. There's the QR code for our podcast. Just go ahead, take your phone, scan it, wherever you're watching us, and then you can select Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, and you can subscribe to Hidden Killers there, where you can then take our audio version of the program with you wherever you go. There's different content there than that's on YouTube, including the trial audio. Every single day, we're bringing it to you all throughout the day. So please do check that out if you want to hear quite a compelling trial minute by minute. We do appreciate that. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.